بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Once again, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered us in this blessed place, in a blessed moment, which I would like to take the opportunity to say to all my brothers and sisters in Islam, كل عام وأنتم بخير. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring all His blessings and mercy upon you and your family and the Muslim world. Few questions people ask about the Eid. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed this nation with two rituals, two Eids. One called Eid al-Fitr, which comes straight after Ramadan and the first day of Shawwal. Another one is called Eid al-Adha, which comes on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And between the two Eids, there's about 2 months and 10 days. Those two Eids, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he arrived to Medina, the people of Medina were celebrating their own celebrations. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam stopped those celebrations and said that Allah had given us a better celebration, a better day to celebrate. It's Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. And usually the days of the Eid is one. So Eid al-Fitr is one, Eid al-Adha is one day. Eid al-Fitr is one day, Eid al-Adha is one day. But with Eid al-Adha, there are 3 days after the Eid al-Adha called Ayyam al-Tashriq. And Ayyam al-Tashriq comes from the word where the Hujjaj, after they used to slaughter, they used to put the skin of the sheeps out on the sun. So the heat of the sun kills all the bacteria and the germs on the skin. So they used to call that Tashriq. So they named the 3 days after Eid al-Adha for Ayyam al-Tashriq. And Ayyam al-Tashriq are part of Hajj too. You see, a Hajj, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, which is Arafat, the day before the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is Yawm al-Tarwiyah, that's when the Hajj really starts. So you've got the 8th, the 9th, and then the 10th, which is the day of Eid. And then 2 or 3 days after the 10th, which is the Ayyam al-Tashriq, and that's also part of Hajj. And the Sunnah has been narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions used to always say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. The takbir that you hear after the prayers. The companions and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that throughout the whole days of Eid. That means for Eid al-Fitr, you say it the night before, which is Maghrib. As again, the way the calendar works among Muslims is the night starts before the day. So tonight, for example, is Friday night. Tomorrow is Friday day. Tomorrow Maghrib is Saturday night. And then that's how it works. So now we're on Friday. So the way that's how the calendar works among Muslims. So Eid al-Fitr will usually start the last day of Ramadan at night. So the takbir will start after Maghrib and ends at Fajr. With Eid al-Adha, the takbir starts after Maghrib, the night before Eid, which when we had Eid on Tuesday, that means Tuesday night was Monday at 8 p.m. Tuesday night was Monday 8 p.m. That's when the takbir starts. And it ends the last day on Asr, which is tomorrow. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, tomorrow Asr is the last time. It's the last time that you say the takbir. And sunnah is that you always say takbir wherever you are. Constantly keep on saying the takbir. It's been narrated that the sahaba used to say the takbir walking, going down, going up, in the markets, in the souq, at home, going to the mosque after the prayers. Yani a 4-day celebration of Eid al-Adha. And in Eid al-Fitr is only 1 day. So Eid al-Adha is 4 days and Eid al-Fitr is 1 day. And Eid al-Adha, we all know that it's named after the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim saw in his dreams, and the dreams of the prophets is always a true or real dreams. The prophets do not see foolish dreams like us. We see, we fly, we come down, we went to the seventh heaven, we went above that, we came down there. We see the most sweetest dreams at night. Now the prophets and the messengers don't see those dreams. The prophets and the messengers, رؤياهم حق, their dreams is always true. So if a prophet sees something, it's either a true dream, something that's going to happen, or could be an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam in his dreams that he was slaughtering his son Ismail. And of course that was a test to Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was a test to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, my brothers and sisters, for over 90 years waiting for a child. Ibrahim alayhi salam, for over 90 years been waiting for a child. After the age of 90, Ibrahim alayhi salam will get a child. So you could see and imagine how much the heart of Ibrahim was so attached to this child. For 90 years, Ibrahim alayhi salam waiting for a child. And then after 90 years, Ibrahim alayhi salam will be blessed by a beautiful child, Ismail alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him to see where is Ibrahim's heart. Is it attached more to Allah or is it attached more to Ismail? So Allah Azza wa Jal, after that, ordered Ibrahim to take Ismail and his mother Hajar in the middle of a valley where there's no plants and there's no living soul. And Ibrahim alayhi salam obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he left Hajar and his son Ismail, in the middle of a valley that had no plants, no living soul around that valley. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam was walking off, Hajar would say, "Oh Ibrahim, do leave us here alone with a bit of dates and water." Ibrahim alayhi salam would not turn his face back, so he would not look at the appearance of his wife Hajar and his son Ismail. Maybe he'll sympathize and turn away from the order of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he kept on walking. And she calls again and says, "Oh Ibrahim, you're going to leave us here alone, me and a little baby, with a bit of food, with a bit of dates and water." So Ibrahim alayhi salam will continue walking. And then Hajar alayhi salam says, "Oh Ibrahim, is that an order from Allah that Allah had ordered you to do so?" So Ibrahim will say, turn around and say, "Yes, Allah had ordered me to do so." Turned around with a broken heart, very sad, but with a promised heart that he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give him, wa Allah azza wa jal will always give him the best and the greatest of reward in this world and the hereafter. So he said, "Yes." So Hajar spoke with a strong heart, strong belief, إِذَنْ لَيُضَيَّعَنَ Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla will never forget us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never neglect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never turn away from us. Since this is done for Allah, Allah will take care of us. And yes, he left his wife, a weak woman, in the middle of a valley with a weak child, in a valley with his no plans or living soul. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the miracle to happen. When the food ends and the water ends, and he, Hajar, goes from two mountains, one by the name of Safa, the other one by the name of Marwa, 7 times going up, down, looking for someone. Is there anyone around that could help her and her son survive and not die in that hard situation? And then Allah Azza wa Jal wanted the miracle to happen from under the feet of Ismail. Allah ordered Jibreel to hit the ground, and then the well of Zamzam will explode. And the water will come out. And Hajar alayhi salam will say, Zummi, Zummi. And Zummi is a Hebrew word, means get together, get together. And it was later on named the well of Zamzam. And that well is from that time to the Day of Judgment. And then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Allah tested Ibrahim with that great test, Ismail grew up and became a strong, fit teenager. And Ibrahim will see his son, Ismail, after an old age, sees beside him a son that's fit and smart and wise and God-fearing, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim's heart will be more attached to his son when he sees him strong beside him to uphold the deen of Allah. Then the other great test came. And that test is what we celebrate the day of Adha. The Eid of Adha, when Allah Azza wa Jal made Ibrahim see in his dreams that he was slaughtering his own son Ismail. So Ibrahim told his son the next morning, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anna adbahuk. O son, I saw in the dreams that I was slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara. Look at the respect that a father gives his son. A prophet gives his son. He tells him, Fanzur madha tara. Tell me, what do you think I should do? O son, I saw in the dreams that I was slaughtering you. And you know this is an order from Allah. So what do you think we should do? قال يا أبت فعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. He said, O dad, do what Allah had ordered you. Inshallah, you find me from the patient ones. Inshallah, you find me from the patient ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty, will never misguide the patient ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let the patient ones. Allah Azza wa Jal will never let down those ones who sacrifice for his sake. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, you could imagine, maybe me and you don't understand it the way Ibrahim alayhi salam, or feel it the way Ibrahim alayhi salam feels it. But could you imagine a man after 90 years waiting for a child? He's ordered after he gets that child to put him in a valley. And then when he sees that child grows up and he's a fit young teenager that stands by his dad, his old father, then he's ordered to slaughter him with his own hands. How hard is that? How hard is that, Ikhwani? Who would do that? If Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to us, or Allah sends an angel to us, ordering us to do such a thing, who will do that? If these days we are ordered by Allah to spare 5 minutes for His sake, we don't even do it. We're ordered by Allah Azza wa Jal to sacrifice $80 for a sacrifice in Eid, and not many people do it. Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one simple order. Yani look at the order. Yani seen in the dream is a revelation. But of course, if Jibril comes down to him, it's a stronger revelation. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla tells it to him one-on-one, it's even stronger. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his order to Ibrahim alayhi salam, to his minimal, you could say, to his minimal revelation. Yani the smallest revelation. The smallest, you could see a big difference between when Jibril comes than a dream, or Allah tells him than a dream. The dream, you could say, is the smallest, yani the last, or the smallest, or the minimal way of revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to His servants. So that small revelation that Allah ordered Ibrahim, straight away Ibrahim acted upon it. Ya bunayya fanzur madha tara. Oh my son, tell me what you think. قال يا أبت فعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. Oh dad, do what you ordered by Allah. Inshallah, by the will of Allah, you're going to find me patient on this test. You're going to find me patient. And I'll handle this tough test for the sake of Allah, because I know the rewards of Allah Azza wa Jal in this world and the hereafter. And that's why, Ikhwani, no matter what you see from the outside, whatever you do for Allah, you always win. You always win. Whatever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you always win. So Ibrahim alayhi salam will grab his son. His son, an only son at that time, Ismail alayhi salam, to take him to slaughter him. And he got to the place that Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in the dream slaughtering his own son. And on the way, Iblis la'natullahi alayhi comes to him, tries to tell Ibrahim, oh Ibrahim, you see a dream, you slaughter his son, now you're going to go and slaughter him? What are you doing? This is not possible. You see in the dreams that you slaughter his son. Now you want to slaughter him. This is not a revelation from Allah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam will throw him with stones. And then he'll come to Ismail. Oh Ismail, you obey your father over a dream he saw. It's just a dream. And look where you're turning yourself to. And Ismail will stone him. And Iblis la'natullah alayhi will try the third attempt to try and deceive Ibrahim and Ismail. And Ibrahim and Ismail with a strong faith that would not give the opportunity and the chance to Iblis to turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, let's turn him the third time. And that's why in Hajj you stand three times in the same places that Ibrahim and Ismail stand Iblis la'natullah alayhi. And that pole is a symbol of Iblis. That you reject Iblis and you reject the call of Iblis. You reject Iblis and you reject the call of Iblis for the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the order of Allah. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam will grab Ismail and put him on a stone, put him on a rock to slaughter him. And Ismail tells his father, look at these words, ya akhwani. Look at this faith. Look at this heart. A heart that's full of iman. A heart that does not even have a dot of misguided belief, a heart that does not even have a deception of the shaitan. He tells his father, oh dad, when you slaughter me, make sure you sharpen your knife. Make it sharp enough that when you slaughter me, kill me at once. Or else if it's not going to be sharp, you might hesitate when you see me the first time after you slaughter me and you see me shaking from the knife, you might hesitate and continue the slaughter and continue obeying Allah's order. And when you slaughter me, oh dad, make my face towards the ground. So you don't look at my face and you sympathize and then you say, I'll turn away from the order of Allah. What kind of a heart is here, Ikhwani? And then he said, oh dad, grab your clothes on you so the blood doesn't spark on you, so the blood doesn't spill on you, and then you go to my mom, and then my mom will see that blood, and she question you about my death. And then you start regretting. Look at Ikhwani, look at these hearts. This is the heart of a prophet, a messenger. That's why they deserve the paradise, and they deserve the highest status in this world and the hereafter. Dad, make sure you sharpen the knife, so you don't hesitate when you are slaughtering me, that you turn away from the order of Allah. Make my face towards the ground so you don't sympathize when you look at my face. And grab your clothes together so the blood doesn't come on it. And then you regret when my mom starts to blame you why you slaughtered me. Subhanallah. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam will come to fulfill the order of Allah. Imagine that. Who could do that? A father, after a long time, after years and years waiting for a son, and after the son comes, that's worth the whole world and what's in it to him, he grabs a knife with his own hands and wants to slaughter his son. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam would not hesitate for the call of Allah and will say to slaughter his son Ismail, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will something else, where Allah azza wa jalla will call Ibrahim and say, oh Ibrahim, you passed the test. We just wanted to see what you do. And the knife would not slaughter Ismail. And a shape will come down from the heaven as a reward for what Ibrahim and Ismail, fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call them that you had fulfilled the test. And that was the bala'ul azim. That was the great test. And a shape will come down from the heaven. And Ibrahim will slaughter the sheep. Subhanallah, a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will always test his servants to see are the hearts of the servants of Allah still with Allah or something else? Is your heart is with Allah, is it with the money? Is your heart with Allah, is it with this dunya? Is your heart with Allah or is it with your family? Is your heart is with Allah or is it with your business? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you with the most beloved thing with you. If the money is the most beloved thing in your life, then Allah will test you with your money. If family is the most beloved thing in your life, Allah Azza wa Jalla will test you with your family. To see is Allah, or does Allah come first, or does your family come first? If your heart is attached to your business, Allah will test you with your business. To see, do you sacrifice for the creator of this universe, your Lord, or do you sacrifice for the creation of this world? So Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested with the greatest test, where his heart loved most his son. His heart loved most his son, and Allah tested him with son. And Ibrahim alayhi salam passed the test. And Allah called Ibrahim in the Quran, Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Allah described Ibrahim with one of the greatest descriptions that a man could be described by the Lord of this universe. Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. And Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled the orders of Allah. Because he fulfilled all orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah ordered him an order and he fulfilled it. Allah ordered him another order and he fulfilled it. Allah ordered him to put his son and his wife in the middle of a valley where there's not even a living soul, and he did it. And Allah ordered him to slaughter his son and he did it. And Allah ordered him to build a Kaaba in the middle of nowhere and he did it. And Allah ordered him to do that and he did it. And Allah ordered him to do that and he did that. Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. And Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we celebrate these days. Eid al-Adha. The Eid of sacrifice. The sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of his son, alayhi salatu wa salam. And we revive that by sacrificing a sheep. And this sheep is an udhiyah. An udhiyah is a sacrifice that you slaughter for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some scholars say it's wajib, yani fard, but majority say it's sunnah mu'akkadah on every family or household that has the ability to pay for that sacrifice. Every household that has the ability to pay for a sacrifice, and one sacrifice is enough for our household. So for me and my wife and my kid, one sacrifice is enough. For me and my wife and my five kids, one sacrifice is enough. As long as my children are under the age of puberty. So one sacrifice for every household, you pay it these days. Of course, you don't do it yourself. These sacrifices originally, third you take home, third you gift, you give it as a gift, and third you donate it. And better off to donate all of it. These days you don't do this in Australia. You can't slaughter in your backyard and so on. Only some Arab jobs and labor jobs do it at the backyard. Anyway, this is illegal, but majority of people these days, it's facilitated for you to go to the charitable organizations where you pay for that, and inshallah they take care of that. And the time of sacrifice ends at the last day of Eid, which is tomorrow. So those brothers who did not sacrifice, I urge you, if you are capable financially enough to sacrifice, then go and sacrifice. Just a remembrance for the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. A great sacrifice by Ibrahim alayhi salam, and something for us to think about. What sacrifice have I given to Allah Azza wa Jalla in his deen the last year? Every year the Eid of Al-Adha comes past, what sacrifice have I sacrificed for this deen? Maybe it's a good opportunity for us to sit down within ourselves and think, for the last 355 days, and I say 355 days is because the Islamic calendar is 355 days, a lunar year. For the last 355 days, what sacrifice have I sacrificed for this deen? What effort have I put for this deen? Where's my sacrifice? Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice the most beloved thing in his life, that he was his son. What sacrifice have I sacrificed to Allah? Have I sacrificed my wealth? Have I sacrificed my time? Have I sacrificed my energy? Have I sacrificed my education for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? Have I done something for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I put an effort for the deen of Allah Almighty? Did I do something to please Allah? Did I do something that will please Allah Azza wa Jal? Gets me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ya ikhwani, every time you sacrifice, I sacrifice for Allah Azza wa Jal. When I say that, I'm saying a general sacrifice, not the slaughter, but a sacrifice. I sacrifice my wealth, I sacrifice my time, I sacrifice my family, I sacrifice my energy, I sacrifice my education, my knowledge, for the sake of Allah. Every time I sacrifice something for Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal elevates my position and promotes me. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives me a higher grade and higher, and I get closer to Allah. If I want to get closer to Allah, I have to sacrifice to Him. That's the way we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by the sacrifice. The more you sacrifice to Allah, the closer you get to Him. The lesser you sacrifice to Allah, the further you're away from Him. So my sacrifice to Allah gets me close. And that's why, ikhwani, we take this opportunity take this time in Eid al-Adha to think about the sacrifice that we sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether sacrifice my time, whether sacrifice my wealth, whether sacrifice my knowledge, whether sacrifice my energy, sacrifice anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ikhwani, the deen is not just revolved a bit around just wallahi giving da'wah to people by speaking face to face, but the deen is much vaster than this, much wider than that. Our da'wah could be done in a lot of ways. Ya akhwani, wallahi, there are people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make effect on their hand by a smile. A smile will make a difference. One smile will make a difference. Wallahi, akhwani, I got affected by a brother in Ramadan, goes around the mosque and cleans the mosque. These are da'wah, ikhwan. These are rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not many people think about that. Some people like to close the mosque. Some people like, for example, to pay and donate for the water or that people use for the wudu. Some people like to take care of the maintenance of the mosque, the cleaning of the mosque. Some people like to take care of the image of the mosque. Some people like to give water to people. Some people like to give, for example, iftar in Ramadan. Some people are just fighting over who could give break the fast of those ones who fasted in the month of Ramadan. So da'wah is not just revolved around, wallahi, my reward's just giving da'wah to one-on-one. These are great rewards, but there's a lot of other rewards out there where I could put some sacrifice in and I could get something in return. And for example, ikhwani, I see a lot of people, they're willing to give da'wah to people. They're willing to go out in their cars and give da'wah. But when it comes, for example, cleaning the mosque, no, I don't want to go neither. No, that's a sacrifice. No, this is that's true sacrifice now. That's a true sacrifice when you force yourself to do such a thing. Some people, wallah, I'm willing to give da'wah, give a talk in front of people. But when it comes, for example, to be security for the mosque and stay the whole night awake for the sake of Allah and the Muslim community, no, that's too much. But subhanAllah, two eyes that the hellfire doesn't get near, an eye that stayed awake for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a sacrifice, ikhwani. See, these are the sacrifices. And ikhwani, when you know that your nafs rejects to do this, know that this is the time for you to get close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You never obtain the birr. And the birr is one of the highest qualities of iman, highest qualities of the good. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You never obtain the birr. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ Until you sacrifice and donate which you must love. Until you sacrifice and donate which you must love. The thing that you love and you attach to, that's when you sacrifice that for the sake of Allah. That's when you really get your position high with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when you really get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wallahi, with the a'mal that I love, I'm with. With the a'mal that I don't love, no, this is not my job. That's when you really get closer to Allah. With the a'mal that you don't love. Why was the jihad the hardest thing on the companions? Is because that's the biggest sacrifice, to sacrifice the life and the wealth and the family for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why al-jihad, as the Prophet Muhammad s.a.w. said, darwat islam al-islam, the highest peak of Islam, because you sacrifice a great sacrifice. You sacrifice a lot of things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that verse revealed, لَن تَنَالَ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, when that verse was revealed, when the companion said, O Prophet of Allah, if I sacrifice the most beloved thing to me, would I obtain birr? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. He said, O Prophet of Allah, I have this farm, but Allah, it's the most beloved thing to me, and I donate that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. For ikhwani, these a'mal, these actions that wallah, you don't like to do, that's when you really get close to Allah. That's when you really force yourself to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wallahi, the a'mal that you love to do, wallah, the actions that you love to do because you feel content with it. Wallah, ikhwani, the a'mal that you find your nafs doesn't want, that's when you really get close to Allah. And that's an opportunity for you to get close to Allah. A lot of people don't like to clean the mosque. But Allah subhanAllah, at the same time, they're willing to give so much da'wah. Wallah, akhi, force yourself to clean the mosque, because that's when you're going to get close to Allah. That's when you're going to get yourself higher to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when you're going to get his position high with Allah Almighty. When a lot of people, subhanAllah, don't like, for example, to do security for the mosque, especially a mosque like this, people coming in and out. Wallah, I don't like to stand someone. That's when you really get yourself closer to Allah. Because it's an amal that you don't like, and you're sacrificing your nafs. You're stepping on your nafs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what pleases Allah, and that's when you really get close to Allah. لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. What you love most. What you love most. You will never obtain the bir until you sacrifice what you love most. And today, Akhwani, is one of the days of Eid al-Adha, the Eid of sacrifice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the second Eid, inshaAllah, where Allah will bless those brothers and sisters next year, inshaAllah, to be on the mountain of Arafat, or in the place of Arafat, performing Hajj and experiencing a great experience, the experience of the Prophet and the Prophets before our Prophet, and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. When you go from a place, when you go in Mecca and you see the Safa and the Marwa and the mountain of Arafah and Mina and you see the Jamarat, it just brings a lot of memories of all this, of all these lectures and talk that we've been talking about, brings it all back to your mind, looking at these great, great men that we follow, like the prophets and the messengers of Allah, sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring all His blessings and mercy upon you all. Wa kul aam wa antum bi khair. Eid Mubarak. Wa taqabbal Allahu ta'atakum. May Allah accept your worship for the previous year. And may Allah azza wa jal accept your worship in the upcoming year, inshaAllah. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. نشهد ان لا اله الا انت. نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.